The key to successful Christian living is never realized through trying harder. When striving for goodness becomes our method, the results are maddening. Along the way, we get stuck in an endless cycle of failure, followed by overanalyzing our mistakes and confessing our shortcomings. Hi, I'm Clayton Bjellin, and today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reveals a shocking truth. We've been wrongly programmed. Like an eagle raised among prairie chickens, we're scratching in the dirt when we're designed to soar. God's counterintuitive plan is beautifully laid out in Romans chapter 8 in the Bible. Chuck titled today's message, Cultivating a Spirit-Controlled Life.
It's a weird world in which we're living, folks. You got to be really discerning. You have to cut through all the pizzazz, all the jazz, all the stuff that you get from the media, from books you read, from stuff you see on the tube, from things you hear, from the majority opinion, from folks around the office. You got to be discerning. Listen. Pay close attention and then square it with the scriptures. And if what you heard doesn't, it's wrong. Otherwise, you're going to be terribly confused. You're going to be wrongly programmed. If Jesus Christ picked up the complete payment for our sin and paid for it all at the cross, doesn't it make sense that he's going to now enable us, empower us to live the life he would have us live, knowing that the only thing we bring to it is an old nature? So the Lord God gives us, places in residence within us, the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to live inside our lives. Our lives become his address. Our mind becomes his mind. Our will can become his will. Our purposes are his purposes, unless we rely on the old nature. So if I look at the very basis of it and I ask, whose responsibility is it? It's God's responsibility to empower me, and he does. I cooperate with him in choosing to do as he directs. Let me show you, for example, over in Ephesians chapter 2. Go past the Corinthian letters, past the Galatian letter, get to Ephesians, and find chapter 2, and you know where I'm going to have you turn. 2:8-9, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Hallelujah. How good is that? For now that we're in Christ, we're not boasting, we're just grateful for salvation. But for we are his workmanship, we're his handiwork, we're his project. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. How good is that? He prepared my salvation beforehand. He prepared my sanctification beforehand. He is ready to empower it start to finish. I just got to keep the old nature out of the picture. Keep it out of the way. Now, all of that is introduction. Verse 12 of Romans chapter 8. So then, brethren and sisters, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. See the word obligation? That's a very important word. It means restricted to a particular mode of life. We are not restricted to a mode of life of the flesh. We are not bound legally to the flesh. We were before Christ. We are not now. We are freed from that binding, that bond that once glued us to it. We couldn't help but lust. We couldn't help but feel greedy. We couldn't help but compete. We couldn't help but focus on ourselves. We couldn't help but be selfish. But Christ has made a difference. Christ has come in, and with Christ has come the whole package, including the Holy Spirit. All the empowerment needed to live a life that's different from what we once lived. Now, we could still live like we used to. Even though it says there's a better way to live. Look at what happens when we do. Verse 13, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. What does that mean? It means you must carry out a lifestyle that is just like the flesh delivers. And what is that? There's inner turmoil. There's argumentation. There are feelings of inner anguish and insecurity. There's hostility. There's resentment. There's irritability. There's selfishness. All the hallmarks of this way of life, the flesh way of life, all of that emerges. Believe it or not, a believer can live like that. And nothing more miserable on the planet, even among the saved and lost, than a believer that is carnal. A believer who is carrying out his or her life in the energy of the flesh. It's called death. You can live like that, and when you do, there are consequences. However, you can also live in the power of the Spirit. Putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What a better way to live, to have Christ in such full control of your life. One occasion, a knock came at Martin Luther's door several days after he had come to Christ through his reading of Romans chapter 3. And the person looked at him when Luther opened the door and he said, "Does Martin Luther live here?" And Luther said, "No, he died several days ago." And then he said, "Well, then who lives here?" And Luther said, "Christ." The guy just kind of stared and blinked and didn't know whether to wind his watch or spit. He just kind of stared at him. And Luther makes a point. It's obviously taken to an extreme. Don't do that on your own. They'll put you away. But back in those days, that was the way Luther handled it. I don't live here. Christ lives here. When you start thinking that way, Christ will become more and more significant to you. It's not you kind of tagging along with Jesus in a wagon. It's Jesus Christ living his life through you, through your life, through his power, through his responses, through his nature. How wonderful is that? And you will find when that occurs, it makes all the difference in the world. You are not any longer so focused on the negative, your own stuff, and you're not helping God, you know, sort of save now, pay me later in this salvation plan. You didn't get saved, and then now you got to pay God back out of gratitude. Doesn't work like that. About 30 years ago, a man named Larry Christensen wrote a book called The Renewed Mind. I dug it out of my library and remembered it because I had shared this over 30 years ago, and I want you to hear it today. It's a good example of how the Christian life is often lived but need not be lived. A young man named Sinner once received from his father a beautiful bright red convertible, which he named Salvation. Sparkling, new, clean, modern, powerful car. It delighted the young man so much, especially because it was a gift. He could never have afforded it. So delighted was the boy that he even changed his name from Sinner to Saved. He polished his car every week, took pictures of it, sent it to friends, looked it over, front, back, top, bottom, inside out, never tired of telling others about the gift. My father gave it to me. It was free. Some days later, Saved was seen on the highway pushing Salvation. An individual named Helper walked up and introduced himself and asked if he could assist. "Oh, no thanks. Just out enjoying my new car," as he wiped the sweat off his face. "Just had a little trouble because my bumper keeps cutting my hands, especially on these hills. But a nice man helped me out. He showed me how to mount little rubber cushions under the bumper right here so that now I can push for hours and I don't even get a blister. He even helps on muddy roads." Helper said, "Have you pushed the car very far?" "Well, about 200 miles altogether. It's been hard, but since this was a gift from my father, this is the least I can do in return to thank him." Don't forget that. "Since this was a gift from my father, this is the least I can do to return to thank him. Now I've got to work at it." Helper opened the door on the right side and said, "Get in." After hesitation, Save decided it was worth a try, so he slid in on the passenger side and rested for the first time since he had been given the car. Helper walked around, opened the door, slid behind the wheel, started the car. Save said, "What's all that noise?" "That's the engine." Moments later, they were moving down the highway quietly at 50, 60 miles an hour. He was absolutely stunned. It all now seemed to fall into place. It was even exciting. He knew he needed this Salvation car to be admitted to the gate at the end of the highway, but somehow he felt that getting there was his responsibility. I gave this message twice before this time. I had a couple who have come out of Mormonism stop by. to say to me, everything you taught about salvation and sanctification is the opposite of what we were taught. Our years, and they named 38 years in that church. I rarely mention another religion, but today it seemed appropriate. The fact is, most religions are based on the works of the follower. Christianity rests, remember Eagles? Christianity rests on the power, on the person of Jesus Christ. He brought us to salvation. He is the one who enables us to live the salvation lifestyle. I yield myself to Him. I trust His Spirit to take over. I rely on His Spirit. So when I come up against a tough moment, I say, Lord, right now, in my mind, I say, Lord, I'm not able to handle this. This is going to be a tough situation. I know before I ever encounter this individual, he's going to tick me off. And I know if I don't watch it, I'm going to smack back. I'm going to come back with some clever, cute little put-down comment. Then he'll come back and we'll be in an argument. So don't let me do that. You take control. Quiet my spirit. Give me your mind. Give me the right thoughts. Give me the right words. And you know what? He will. Proverbs says in 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that an amazing thing? When I am pleasing to the Lord with my ways, it's amazing how often the enemy is not my enemy. And the Lord uses it in a remarkable way to turn the situation around, because it's now under the operation of the Spirit of God. It's not that you'll never have an argument. It's not that you'll never have a tough moment. It's that you'll have it and operate through it under the power of someone that is not you. And that's the Spirit of God. Now, the benefits that come our way. There are four of them right here in 14, 15, 16, 17. I call them internal changes. Number one, verse 14, all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Number one, practical, everyday leading from God. When I am living like this, every day I am led by God. Every day. I start my day saying, Lord, if I lead myself, I'll go in the wrong direction. Don't let me do that. I give you my thoughts today. I give you my day. I ask you to help me when my day is interrupted. Help me when I'm rushed. Help me when the kids make a lot of demands on me. Help me when there's difficulty with a neighbor. Help me when I'm at work and such occur. Help me, Lord. Help me through the day. Guide me. Lead me. And I place myself, and I don't plan on sinning. See, before it was like, okay, I know I'm going to blow it today, Lord, so be ready to forgive me. It's not like that. It's, Lord, I don't have to fall into that trap as I used to. Guard me from it. Guide me, great Jehovah. I'm just a pilgrim in a barren land. Here's the second one, verse 15. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. You've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. Look closely. When we came to Christ, we received not another slavery, but a fearless intimacy with God. That's the next benefit. There is a free and fearless intimacy with God. You received a spirit of adoption. I'm a child of God. I'm a son. You're a daughter of God. And now I call him Daddy. That's what Abba means. See the word Abba? It's Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke. He used it at Gethsemane. Father, forgive them. Father, help this cup pass from me, was his statement. Daddy, an intimate calling on the Father. Father, Daddy, there's intimacy in that. Before, there was that sense of distance, but now, while I hold him in great respect and awe, I'm connected to him closely. He's my companion. He is my God, and I am walking with him under his control. Now, there's a third. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. Notice the two S's. First one is capitalized. That's the Holy Spirit. The other is our human spirit, that we are children of God. So the third is this confident assurance that we belong to God. the confident assurance that we belong to God. We're never in doubt. We never have to wonder. We never wake up in the morning or go to bed at night wondering if God has kicked us out or if we're no longer in His forever family. We have the assurance that we are the children of God. And it gets even better. 17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. Here's a clear realization of our value before the living God. A clear realization of our value. We are not only heirs of His, we are fellow heirs with His Son. The most significant thing about our lives then is what God has done, is doing, and will do. That's the most exciting thing about the Christian life. Practical, everyday leading from God, free and fearless intimacy with God, confident assurance of belonging to God, and then a clear realization of our value and worth before God. So my response, three words, let God lead. That's it. It works against our nature because we are adults and we've had training and we're educated and we're capable and probably you have a position that's pretty significant and you've relied on that to get you through your career, so it comes to God, you're going to rely. Don't. Let God lead. And He will lead in ways that will be surprising. Just release your grip. Don't try to control the situation. Let God lead. Sounds so simple. Three monosyllabic words. Let God lead. Some time ago, I came across a little piece on the road of life. At first, I saw God as my judge, keeping track of the things I did wrong, so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I died. He was out there sort of like a president. I recognized His picture when I saw it, but I really didn't know Him. Later on, when I met Christ, it seemed as though life was rather like a bike ride, but it was a tandem bike. I noticed that Christ was in the back helping me pedal. I don't know just when it was that He suggested we change places, but life hasn't been quite the same since then. When I had control, I knew the way. It was rather boring, but predictable. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when He took the lead, He knew delightful long cuts. Isn't that a great line? He knew the long cuts. Up mountains, through rocky places at breakneck speeds. It was all I could do to hang on. Even though it looked like madness, He'd lean back and say, pedal. I worried and was anxious and asked, well, where are you taking me? He laughed and never answered. And I started to learn to trust Him. I forgot my boring life and entered into the adventure. And when I'd say I'm scared, then He would lean back and He would touch my hand. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing and help, gifts of acceptance and joy. They gave me their gifts along my journey. And we were off again. He'd say, now give those gifts away to someone else, their extra baggage, too much weight. So I did, to the people we met. And I found that in giving, I received, and still our burden was light. I didn't trust Him at first. I'm not in control of my life. I thought He'd wreck it. But He knows bike secrets. Isn't that a good line? He knows bike secrets. He knows how to make it bend and take sharp corners, how to jump to clear high rocks. He knows how to shorten scary passages. And I'm learning to just shut up and pedal. And we go in the strangest places together. I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful companion, Jesus Christ. And when I'm sure I just can't do any more, He smiles and says, pedal. Sounds like the life of an eagle, doesn't it? If you're not careful, you were programmed to be a prairie chicken. If you're not careful, you'll keep believing that nonsense, and you'll spend the rest of your life pushing your new vehicle. You have no business trying to push what God will energize. That's not how it works. I have lived long enough and gone far enough to be able to tell you something that I'm free to admit. I've come to the place in my life now where I don't fear anybody. I don't. I have heroes and mentors. I respect many people, but I don't have a fear of them like I used to. I used to be intimidated around certain people. You know, like you hope they don't look at you or point you out. Or next month, I'm going to be around some of the hot shots inside the Beltway. And who knows, we may see a cabinet member. I'm not afraid of a politician. I'm not afraid of a cabinet member. I mean, my fear is of the awesome God who made the stars also. He's the one we fear. And the deeper we get into this understanding of true sanctification, the more intimate our walk with Him is and the less impressed we are with other folks. They just got to put their bridges on one leg at a time, like you do. They got needs just like you do. They got insecurities just like you and I do. Most of them, if they're real, genuine, humble people, they don't want you to be impressed. If we lived our lives as we should, adequately and fully and totally impressed with the living God, it is amazing what that would do to our whole focus in life. Amazing. You'd be freed to be an eagle. You wouldn't have to learn to cluck. You wouldn't be grubbing for worms. And you'd say finally, thanks, Lord. Thank you for not only saving me, thank you for living your life through me. I am just awestruck at that. And you just, every day, I'm going to tell you, every day of my life, I'm surprised. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. It's a wonderful way to live. Wonderful. Let's bow our heads. Perhaps you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus and you've heard just enough today to have your appetite whetted. So I'm not going to beg you to do that. God's working on your heart and He'll bring you to Him. He knows the time. He knows the moment. My preference is that you'd respond right now. Just tell the Lord you're tired of living it your way and you want to live it His. That you're going to trust His Son, Jesus, instead of trusting in yourself. Because one of these days, my friend, you're going to die. You're going to be like every other person who dies. You're going to be a corpse. The Lord promises you a life beyond death that you can't provide for yourself. So just trust Him now. You can trust Him on your way home. You can trust Him where you're sitting. And it may be you've trusted Him, but you've not operated in His strength. And this could be a major turning point for you. This renewed mind could become yours. How great a thought is that? And you would begin to soar like you've never soared before. So help us all, Lord, in this journey called life. We have been wrongly programmed. Relearning untruth is harder than learning for the first time great truth. So help us to filter out the nonsense and to come to terms with truth. And when we see it and understand it, may we apply it and do it all for your glory. Thank you for deliverance from the things that once held us in their grip. Thank you for these many friends so faithful to be a part of our ministry. Encourage them as they put this to use in their lives. Start with me. Help me, Lord, operate under your Spirit's control.
When we stop trying to live the Christian life in our own power and instead allow Christ to live His life through us, we experience the abundant life God intended, soaring like eagles rather than scratching around like prairie chickens. That's the overarching theme of this passage in Romans chapter 8 in the Bible. Now, did you realize that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote nearly half the books in the New Testament? And many believe that Romans was Paul's finest work because it describes God's character and the gospel of Jesus Christ with depth and clarity. To guide you in your studies, Insight for Living offers an interactive Bible study workbook that is part of our popular Searching the Scriptures Bible studies. To learn more about this for the Book of Romans, visit ifl.org.au. What if everything we've been taught about suffering is wrong? I'm Clayton Bjelland. Don't miss Chuck Swindoll's clarifying message Friday on Insight for Living.